Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, Friday edition. I was reading a story that dogs of war are also suffering from emotional stress. As U.S. troops return from Iraq and Afghanistan, many are coming home with mental and emotional damage brought on by war, and not just the human soldiers. Of course, we saw the same thing put out by the liberal press after the Vietnam War. Most of it was rubbish. It was garbage put out by the anti-war crowd. But nevertheless, we'll go on with the article. They say crews at Lackland Air Force Base, where all the military's working dogs are trained, say they're beginning to notice post-traumatic stress disorder in dogs as well. Colonel Kelly Mann, a vet who treats the dogs, said where they were once very outgoing and very sure of their work, now they want to avoid contact. Sounds like me, and I wasn't even in Iraq or Afghanistan. Canine PTSD symptoms are very similar to symptoms human experience, including startled reaction to loud noises, panic attacks, sleep problems, and loss of social ability. All right, what are you going to do about it? It's all part of the plan to make you hate the military and war. They figure you don't care about the soldiers. You might care about the dogs. But this is how the liberal media works. Here's the real story that I want to talk about now that I don't have your attention. If you go to michaelsavage.com, which I really don't care if you do or not, there's a couple of stories you absolutely must see, which I do care about. The top story is that Gingrich co-sponsored the Fairness Doctrine bill way back when. You won't hear that on Fox News because they're in bed with him. You won't hear that on any of the liberal outlets because they're all pushing Gingrich because they know he's going to lose to Obama. That's the way it's going. But nevertheless, the rule that chilled free speech on the radio that was fortunately overturned before it was passed by Ronald Reagan, the Fairness Doctrine that would have put me out of business, Gingrich co-sponsored the bill when he was in the House of Representatives. I have nothing to say other than just check it out and see if I'm making it up. But here's the real story that I want to ask you a question about now on this lovely Friday. TalkStream Live, Savage is surging on the internet. Okay, just surging, going crazy. Michael Savage jumped 27% last month and then went up 18% this last month, 2 months ago, then this month. Savage is just surging on web broadcasting. And Rush is flatlining. Glenn Beck is flatlining. Sean Hannity dropped 6.5%. Somebody named Groucho Marx Levin dropped 17%. Bill Bennett, who was never a player, another hack of the Republican Party, dropped 23%. Dennis Miller, who never had a chance, dropped 10%. But Michael Savage is going through the roof. So I have to ask you a question. People ask me today, listen, you're not a younger guy. Why are so many younger people listening to Michael Savage on the internet? First of all, internet listeners are younger in general than other talk show listeners. They tend to listen on an iPhone, or they listen on I don't know what they're listening on, but they're listening on the phones rather than on radios. And that explains in part why I'm surging. So someone said to me, Savage, why do you think you're surging while others are flatlining or dropping? And here's my answer, and tell me what you think of it. Here's my answer. Because a lot of young guys who are the predominant listeners to my show on the internet miss a father figure, they miss an uncle figure. They either grew up in a single family home where mom raised them, and or they had no extended family where the uncles used to be around, there were no uncles. I'm the Uncle Mike of the Savage Nation. I'm the father figure and the Uncle Michael that they never had, that they wish they had. So this is where kind of age and experience have a positive effect in the radio or the broadcast business, I should say. You get it? So I'm asking you, why do you think Michael Savage appeals more to younger internet users than other talk show hosts? Question number two, and it's a big one. Why is Romney struggling? People are belaboring this question. They can't understand it. The man has many advantages, lots of money, and yet the broken suitcase, Newt Gingrich, is ahead of him in a Republican poll by 21 points, which I find astonishing. But I have my idea why Romney is not surging. It's because he's invisible. He's not got no, he's got no fire in his belly. He's being deceived by his handlers. Remember, 2 years ago, December, he had dinner with me in San Francisco. He asked for it one-on-one. We sat and talked. I have the picture, and I can put it up on my internet site, and I may do it just to embarrass him, because apparently he meets with people now and doesn't even want their pictures taken. So just to show him how much I respect him, I'm going to post a picture of Romney and I having a nice dinner 2 years ago. But after that, he would not talk to me again. Why? Because the very same advisors who have shafted other candidates are destroying Romney. I don't think you understand how this business works. Many campaign advisors are absolute and total villains. They're villains from top to bottom. And if they're telling him that this show is not important enough for him to refer to or even come on, they're destroying him. With what I'm showing in my web ratings and the fact that I have such a big audience, you can bet your boots that anyone who wants to be president has to come on the show. But they won't do it because, again, their advisors are telling them they don't need the show, and they're totally wrong. The third question is open mic to mic. It's open mic to mic Friday here on the Savage Nation. We're going to take your calls on any topic that you think is relevant. Tomorrow we realize that what is his name again? Kane? Kane? I mix him up with Mick Kane. Kane is going to give a speech tomorrow about his campaign. No doubt the poor man is going to resign tomorrow. We're asking, what do you think his next job will be? Some wise guy said, well, Herman Kane could become a marriage counselor. He could become a financial advisor for single women. He could become a spiritual counselor to Bill Clinton. And please leave out the pizza statements. We're not interested. We then read that of all people on earth, Donald Trump is going to moderate the next Republican debate. Now, irrespective of the fact that I like Donald Trump, do you think that this is a relevant? Do you think this is the right thing for Republicans to do? I mean, where are they going to go next? From Wolf Blitzen out of Donald Trump? Again, I have to say, even though I personally like Donald Trump and I'm a member of the Mar-a-Lago Club, I don't think this is appropriate. I think this makes no sense. And this is all part and parcel of the idiocy of the Republican National Committee, in my opinion. And then we have Newt Gingrich coming out with a gaffe of gaffes, saying that poor children should be janitors, which I couldn't believe was true until I heard it. I want you to listen to clips one and two and tell me what you think.
Really poor children in really poor neighborhoods have no habits of working and have nobody around them who works. So they literally have no habit of showing up on Monday. They have no habit of staying all day. They have no habit of, I do this and you give me cash, unless it's illegal. Then we get into the janitor thing, and I get these letters written that say, janitorial work is really hard and really dangerous, and it's this and that. I go, fine. So what if they became assistant janitors, and their job was to mop the floor and clean the bathroom? And you paid them.
It's actually not a bad idea. However, I don't think it's going to sell very well amongst the Oprah Winfrey audience, to be very honest with you. And unfortunately, there's an awful lot of the Oprah Winfrey audience out there who are used to not working and are used to telling their children not to work to just wait for the government check. So here's an example of a real mistake on his part. Yet I will tell you, I think it's a good idea to get poor kids to be janitors. What are you going to start them out as, physicists? I was a janitor as a kid. I cleaned things. I worked in I was a dishwasher. One of my first jobs was dishwasher in a luncheonette on Union Turnpike. Did I ever tell you that story? You want to hear a nice, friendly Christmas story? I was an inveterate gambler when I was 11. I went through this in a two-year period of my life from 11 to 13. I realized that people who get stuck on gambling are usually are really stuck, and it's an addiction. I don't know how to put it. I'm not exactly sure the psychological term. But it comes about in a man's life about the same time that is of his sexual awakening. And boys tend to like to gamble. We were gambling for pennies and nickels, and I even bought a roulette wheel and a green felt cloth, and I ran games in my house. You know, I made $8, won $6. It was a lot of fun. But one night, as I say, I was gambling for a year or two. I lost all of my money, which at the time was probably $9. And I was ashamed to go home broke. So I went up to Union Turnpike in Queens, where I lived, and I asked the candy store man, the luncheonette guy, could I wash dishes to make some money? He said, sure, Mike, go ahead. So I put on the gloves or no gloves, and I worked there. I lost track of time. I just worked. I didn't mind working. I grew up working in my father's store. I was working till about 11 at night, cleaning every dish, cleaning it as well as I could, wiping every cup, wiping every... And my father comes in the store, ashen-faced, around 11 o'clock, and he looked at me, and for 2 seconds, he didn't know what to make of it. Then he figured it out, that his son was working to make money, and he didn't get mad at me. He had called the police, who were looking for me, and no one knew where to find me. But he found me working. Instead of yelling at me, he just said nothing. He understood, and we went home together. So there's nothing wrong with a kid taking a menial job. In fact, that's all they're good for. 1-800-449-8255. Why is Michael Savage surging on the web, even though you never see me on television? You never hear of me. You never see me. My books are bestsellers. And here I am. Why? I'd like to know why you listen to this show. Do you agree with me that I represent a sort of missing figure in the American landscape? And I mean, that's my analysis, is that I'm a missing father for a lot of young guys. And I'm also the missing uncle for a lot of people. I'm a person that used to exist in America in a far greater, to a far greater extent than exists today. I'd like to hear that because people are listening. People are listening. Okay? Let's start on the East Coast in New York City on WOR. Rick, go ahead, please, on this beautiful Friday night. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mr. Savage. I can't live without my Savage Nation podcast. It's always on my computer. It's on my favorites. It's like one of my limbs.
But how old are you, Rick? What age bracket?
I'm 35 years old.
So you're not really a young guy, but what do I give you that you don't get from others in radio?
It's unbelievable. You hit the nail on the head. I don't have a father. I don't have a mother.
Hmm.
I've been on my own since I was 15 years old.
Wow.
I worked my way through college and grad school.
Hmm.
I have just really looked at you as a fatherly figure. I can't stress enough how much I can't go without my Savage Nation podcast.
So you don't mind if I drift around? I go from serious to joking, sometimes totally inane, sometimes totally wacky, like last night talking about my lips sticking together. You enjoy all of it, in other words.
Absolutely. I like you. You talk about Teddy. You talk about your boat. You talk about, Palm Beach, Florida. You talk about Miami. You talk about Kane. I love that. You're very diverse in your conversations and your subjects. And, it keeps your
listeners. In that sense, it's like talking to a friend, hanging out in a bar or at home and just talking about a lot of things and not getting stuck on a single topic where you can get bored, right?
Absolutely. I agree.
See, that shows that ADD should not be treated.
That's right. That's
if I were a kid today, God forbid, I wouldn't get through the first grade without being put on medication and be put in therapy and probably into a mental hospital. That's what they do to anybody who's creative in this country today. They treat you as though you are sick. The same way that the corrupt medical establishment has taken childbirth and turned it into a disease in order to capitalize on it, they have taken creativity and turned it into an illness in order to sell drugs and to capitalize on it, but most importantly, to control it and make certain that the genie doesn't get out of the bottle. Rick, I'm sending you a copy of Abuse of Power. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is Open Mic to Mike on Friday. It's your Savage Nation. Why is Romney struggling? Why do you think Michael Savage is booming on the internet where the listeners tend to be younger? These are some of the questions. I guess there are others. Hey, there was a big story in radio last night. A local station in San Francisco that was the leader for years, 30 years, KGO Radio, fired all the talk show hosts except one who they can't get rid of because he's locked in a contract. He's been asleep at the switch for the last 5 years anyway, Mr. Softy. But they've gone to – it's no more talk radio on that station. It's amazing to me that they're switching to all news. That's amazing. That's an astonishing story. I mean, this station was the leader. And things, there's changing, things going on. Business is different. Business model is different in this business and every other, and things are changing. And that ties into my whole web surge, which is very interesting, which is that guys like me who are talk radio hosts, if you're not surging on the web, you're going to be finished. You're going to be off out of business in a year, 2 years at the most. No one's going to even know you exist because there's going to be no outlet for you. But it's not only him. Look, right now I told you I'm traveling on the East Coast. I'm in Florida. I'm in a beautiful, beautiful place on the ocean. I can hear the ocean pounding all night. The air is gorgeous. So I called a friend in California, an older guy, and he said, how are you enjoying Florida? I said, I'm in a gorgeous villa on the ocean. He said, are you enjoying it? I said, I feel like Napoleon on Elba. He laughed hysterically. I mean, that's how I feel. I mean, you stare at an ocean. After a while, it becomes very, it's like eternity. I mean, there it is. Like, I don't know. I don't like looking at the ocean. Everyone wants an oceanfront house. It's actually gloomy because all that's out there is like death. There's like the blank space at night. You know, it's like, there you go. I don't get the same spooky feeling in San Francisco Bay. Why? Because if I'm on a bay and I look across the bay, I see lights. It's got a finite horizon. So like if I look from the Marin County side of San Francisco, of Marin County, I see Richmond, Oakland. You know what I'm saying? I don't get that sense of infinity that, you know, just like wipes me out. It's an interesting phenomenon. And then even the sound of the ocean, but the air is gorgeous. I mean, why complain about it? Like, I love to go out naked in the middle of the night on the deck and feel the air. I mean, I don't mean to, like, you know, be kind of a stranger, but it's an amazing thing. Like, if I can't sleep, which is like every night, I haven't had a night's sleep in 35 years. It's never hurt me. In fact, did I ever tell you the story about insomnia? Now I'm going to get into a drift. I start with one thing and I go to another. Many of you suffer from insomnia. So you go to a quack who puts you on a drug, and no doubt it'll give you cancer in 5 years from the drugs the quack puts you on. The one thing to remember about insomnia is that a lack of sleep never killed anybody. It was worrying about not sleeping that will kill you. So you have to ask yourself, what can you do at night when you're not sleeping? You can do a million different things. You can view the stars. You can write a book. You can go out and exercise naked on the deck. There's a million things you can do. You don't have to sleep. It means you're not tired.
Savage.
I used to love this song as a kid. You know, I'm thinking about various tickets since it doesn't make sense anymore to me who's running for what. How about a Kane Sandusky ticket? Or I'm trying to put things together that might work. How about this? Bonnie Frank just retired, right? Or is going to retire. How about a Newt Gingrich Bonnie Frank ticket? That might work. You know, something that crosses party lines along those lines. It makes no sense to me. I expect to wake up any morning with another whack job, you know, announcement by one of them. Why is Romney not getting anywhere? Answer. Because Romney's nowhere. I wish the guy would come out swinging, you know, fire in the belly, get angry at something, attack Obama, show us you can lead the world, show us you can attack our enemies, show something. Don't sit there I don't know how to put it. I say a country club Republican. He's like a nice guy in a church that can never get mad at anybody. That makes him, he's a nice man. That's not what we need for president. We need an SOB in the White House. You need a mean guy who can stand up to the dictators of the earth and tell them, you know what you can do if you don't like it? We got a Tomahawk missile for breakfast aimed right at you right now. That's what we need in the presidency. The next time the mullahs get up there, Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time, you know, launch one of the submarines, one missile, once, and the Iranian people would celebrate. They'd be liberated. That's what we need for the presidency. But you're not going to get it from any of them. We have to it's like watching cancer. Cancer, every day we have to put up with being threatened and humiliated and attacked and run down. And every day the American people are screaming for someone to stand up and lead the country. They're begging these lousy, phony politicians to stop it. We can't stand any of them. We all know they're in it only for themselves. We all know they're bought and sold like cheap whores on the lowest street in town. You think I don't see it? You think I don't see this? We all see this. And we're sick of it because we understand that this country is bought and sold for. These marionettes on the stage, none of them appeal to the American people on either side of the aisle. And that's why their ratings are so low. because America wants someone to get up there and give us our national pride back. I'm going to tell you something right now. A man sometimes can live without his without a meal, but he can't live without his pride. A man could go without food for a day, but he can't go without his self-respect for a minute. And it's the same with a nation. We need a man to come along who is going to restore our national pride. And unfortunately, it ain't Romney. And that's the truth of the matter. And I got it out of my system. And I'm sorry to even have to say it to you. That's the truth of the matter. And I don't know how to save this country myself. I don't know if there's anyone. I don't think it's possible for someone like that to come up out of nowhere and get to a high office in this country. I think the system is so rigged that there's no way you can get anywhere near that position because the money is so. Remember, this is the biggest economy on earth. And all you got to understand is that the two parties have been dipping their beaks into this treasury for so long. And they don't care what you think of them. They don't care that you know they're corrupt. They don't care because they know no one is going to ever catch them. Oh, yeah, once in a while they'll throw some schlub to the wolves. And they think that that window dressing of arresting a lowly broker is going to make you happy. But you see the big guys at the top. You see a guy like, and by the way, he's never done anything wrong. But you see a thing like MF Global with John Corzine, $1.2 billion allegedly missing. You see $1 billion given to a Kennedy in a guaranteed loan. You're telling me that this is kosher? Are you kidding me? And you ask yourself, who is going to watch the watchers? Where are the watchers for us? What happened to this country that no one's watching? You know, but there's only so much you can do about any of this thing. We're overwhelmed by it. Let's go to the callers. Steve in Hawaii, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thanks. You know, Mike, I think some of the younger guys are listening to you because you are a true independent voice. Newspapers, television, there's a lot less relevant media for these guys. I'm 52, and it's a lot less relevant media to me. I'm an independent thinker, and I think there's maybe a lot more guys out there than we give credit for.
You mean the younger guys, are you saying, have more of an independent mind than we give them credit for?
Maybe, possibly. But here's the other thing. Maybe from personal experience, maybe they went to college. They got that typical liberal U.S. education, and now they're 25, 30, 35, and they're seeing what's going on with their parents and other members of their family. That the institutions and the things in America that used to work or should be working for them aren't. Their parents have lost their job, lost the 401k.
So in other words, they really don't know who to believe in or who to even listen to. And they turn the TV on, it's all these button-down guys. They know that they're just throwing baloney, by and large. So they turn to talk radio, and amongst the talk radio audiences, I have a good one. I'm not the only one, don't get me wrong here. But I am surging like crazy right now, and that's a phenomenon that has to be analyzed, by the way. I appreciate the call. I don't want to just talk about this all day. Don't get me wrong. I'd like to talk about this for the rest of my life, but I can't do it because I'd lose my audience. But Anna in Sacramento, California, welcome to the program. You're on the air with me and millions of like-minded people. What's on your mind, Anna?
Dr. Savage, I'm mad that you keep saying that women do not listen to your show because women do listen to your show. I listen to your show. I know other women who do. You're a Renaissance man. You make very compelling arguments. So women do listen to your show.
I am a Renaissance man. I pride myself on being a Renaissance man. No one even knows what a Renaissance man is anymore. See, you're from another generation, Anna. What is a Renaissance man? It doesn't mean I wear white velvet tights, does it?
No, it means that you have many different interests, and you are kind of someone who's versed in different areas, and you can talk about a lot of different subjects with a certain level of understanding.
Well, you want to hear something interesting, and again, it's hard to say without sounding egotistical, but I'm going to take a shot at it. I came to talk radio quite by chance late in my life. I had other careers, etc. I'm blessed with a very high degree of higher education, two real master's degrees, a real PhD. I am a father, you know, etc. A lot of guys in talk radio, especially conservative radio, you know that they have no children. They have no college education. Do you know that they're only high school graduates? Unto itself, that's not a crime. There's nothing wrong with that. But they are incapable of discussing anything except politics, Democrat, Republican. And that becomes, I think, a limiting factor.
I think that's why they're intimidated by you, too. And I also think that, you know, just some of your other work alone, like your work with homeopathy and your work with medicine, if you just did that in your life, that one thing, you would be an incredibly avant-garde person for having contributed that at the time.
Isn't it interesting that I was a leader in the field of herbal medicine, homeopathy, nutrition for 20 years or more, and the vermin on the left, who allegedly support these fields, now try to use it against me, saying, oh, what kind of conservative is he when he writes books on herbal medicine, without even understanding how idiotic that is. The fact of the matter is alternative medicine is quite conservative, incidentally. It is the liberals who are pushing the burn, cut, and poison school of medicine. It is the liberals who want to turn vitamins into drugs. Think about that, how crazy this is. The liberals who pose as progressives want to be regressives and take us back 50 years and make it so that you need a prescription to buy vitamin C.
Yeah, no good. No
Anna,
good.
I have a special song I'm going to play for you now. Tell me what it is. If you get it, if you could tell me what this song is, I'm going to give you a copy of Abuse of Power. Play it.
Look at me. I'm as helpless as a kitten up a tree.
All right, stop right here. What's the song's title, Anna?
It's Johnny Mathis. I don't know who this is. I don't know the name of the song.
It's Play Misty for Me. It's a joke. Don't you remember that great Clint Eastwood movie from like 20, 30 years ago where he's a radio host in Monterey, California, drives an old Jag XK140 or 150, and a woman becomes fixated on him, and everywhere he turns, she's popping up in his apartment. And then she tries to kill him with a knife. It's every man's nightmare. No, I was just kidding, Anna. You're a good-natured personality. So I'm not going to send you a copy of Play Misty for Me. We'll send you a copy of Abuse of Power. Stay on the phone. 1-800-449-8255. By the way, I did not, just to clarify this, I was joking last night about Italian or Chinese. I was going to go to my mother's Chinese. The truth is, I remember I was like fading last night. I didn't feel good. I don't know if you heard it. I can push myself through a show like a warrior. No matter how I feel, I can do a show. I was near, like, fainting from exhaustion. You know what it was? It was hypoglycemia because I missed lunch. I'm like an opera singer. I actually need an enormous amount of fuel. I've tried to run the skimpy diets while I'm in this business. It doesn't work. I mean, I've gained 20 or more pounds since I started radio. But that was a long time ago. But I can't get through to a show late in the day unless I have a – I don't mean hearty breakfast. I mean a humongous protein-rich breakfast. And a monster lunch, and then sleep after lunch for half an hour. Then I could perform, but I didn't do any of that yesterday. I tried, I remember, like, skimpy meals. So I had hypoglycemia. I was, like, fainting. So right after the show, I hardly had the energy. We drove to a little dinky little Cuban restaurant that's like a diner near here, which I happen to love because the food is good, decent peasant food. It comes out fast. I practically drank the meal, and my energy was restored within an hour, so... I mean, you're not that interested in all of that. I'm just telling you how things work in a life. Now, tonight I may go have my lips glued together because I feel so much better. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to David in New York on WOR. David, welcome.
Uncle Mike, you have no idea that it's so meaningful, the words, Uncle Mike. I had a relative, let's say in the family business back in New York, and he was known as Uncle Mike, and he was revered as you are, and, you know, you frequently say you have no friends. You have no idea the amount of people out here that view you as a close friend.
Well, that's, you see, David, here's the interesting paradox. In real life, I have no friends to speak of. In the world of the media, I think I have many, you know, obviously listeners are not your friend. And of the hardcore million, of the millions, there's probably a hardcore base of fanatic followers of hundreds of thousands, and amongst the hundreds of thousands, there must be a lot of people who could be a friend. But it's a very different thing than in real life, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, well, I listen all the time with my 13-year-old son, and he just loves your show because he hears many different shows. I also make him listen to some progressive shows. And, you know, an interesting show would be someone like yourself with a progressive guest, like one of these guys who's got progressive shows. Because if people were to hear the things that they come out with, they wouldn't believe it.
Well, they're not progressives. They use the phrase, but they're lying. Progressives are regressives. They want to drag us to some 1950s Muscovite reality. If you look at their policies, they bring us back to an era of statism and government control from top to bottom, from cradle to grave, high taxation, a crushing of the individual spirit. There's no such thing as a progressive other than a conservative. We are the actual true progressives. We conservatives want to progress to a more independent state. We are the progressives, but they steal everything. They steal language. They steal concepts. They steal the idea. Look what they did when they took on the blue state, red state. You know that they're aligned with the socialist or communist viewpoint than are the conservatives, and yet they're so clever that they took themselves and named themselves the blue states. Now, you talk about a paradox. They are the red staters because they want to turn this whole nation into one red state. You know that. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. What do you want to talk about? Any topic is fair game. We can't just talk about me. There are other questions today on the Savage Nation. We touched on some of them. Donald Trump is going to moderate the next Republican debate. Do you think Trump is a good choice? What else do we have? John Corzine has been subpoenaed to testify before Congress. Do you think he'll actually face any legal consequences? Yeah, right. They might make him the vice presidential nominee under Obama. Here's one that I know is going to load up the lines. I'm almost afraid to ask the question, but I will. The so-called governors of the so-called states of Washington and Rhode Island have asked the so-called federal government to allow so-called medical marijuana to be legalized. Do you believe that there's such a thing as medical marijuana and it should be legal? Are you aware that marijuana is perhaps the most dangerous of all drugs because it is truly a gateway drug? And I have had many shows here on the dangers of marijuana, and yet now we have these moronic so-called governors wanting to drug an entire generation legally. Okay? You want to talk about that? Call a progressive show. Because there was a statement that religion is the opiate of the masses. In America, marijuana is the opiate of the masses. Let's go to Sacramento. Miles, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Well, hello, Michael.
Hi.
We were talking about earlier that there's a younger audience listening to your station, and I'm fortunate enough to listen to your show as I come home from work in Sacramento, and I listen on the radio every day. And I'm a 25-year-old married man, have a young son.
Congratulations. You're the future of America.
Thank you very much, sir. And so I just appreciate the views and the ideas that you talk about that almost nobody else on talk radio talks about. And that's exactly why I listen to your show. Things that you say, nobody else talks about. It's great.
All right. Well, that's interesting. It varies according to my mood and my interests of the day. I'm going to send you a Christmas present, Miles, which is a copy of Abuse of Power. When I come back, we'll move on to any other topic you'd like to talk about, including, by the way, if you're in the Bay Area. In the Bay Area, now listen to what I'm about to say. A tidal wave hit talk radio in the San Francisco area. The largest and most successful talk radio station in the country was just closed down by the new owners. They didn't exactly turn it off yet, but they're switching to all news. They fired all of the talkers with the exception of a man who's basically been asleep at the switch for 20 years in the same Hawaiian shirt because they can't get rid of him owing to contractual problems. But they're switching, they're turning talk radio off. If you're a regular listener or were a regular listener to that station and you'd like to comment on it, give me a call at 1-800-449-8255. I'm Michael Savage.
To the best of my knowledge, my health is fine. I have an annual physical. I should lose weight. Everybody who loves me tells me I should lose weight. They're all correct. I just find it really hard to lose weight. God wanted me to be a bear, not a gazelle. That's one of the great challenges of my life.
All right. I'm going to ridicule a guy because he's fat. I'm not going to do that. But that's the least of his problems, is being a little overweight. You know, a bear is not exactly a good analogy. Because that has a little other connotation in certain circles in America, you know. I mean, let's not go there. He could have chosen another word instead of a bear versus a gazelle, but all right. Not everybody's from San Francisco where they know what a bear is. All right, we'll move on. But fear not, the President of the United States of America, Barack Hussein Obama, will be leaving on a 17-day vacation to Honolulu. December 17th to January 2nd, the President will travel to Honolulu, Hawaii. He'll return to Washington, D.C. on Monday, January 2nd. No public events are scheduled during the trip because the man needs to rest from all the rest he's had. Now, I can ask you if it's appropriate. The answer is no. In a time like this, the President should not take a vacation. At a time like this, it's in very bad taste. But if that was something new, we'd be talking about it. But we're used to a president who has debased the office of the presidency in so many ways that it's not even worth discussing. He has no shame, and he could care less. He doesn't care what you think. Don't you understand yet that he's giving you the middle finger? He could care less what you think about him, in plain English. Speaking about the middle finger, San Francisco, the most embarrassing city on earth, cannot even get the filthy bums out of the streets with the Occupy movement. They're defecating in the street, urinating in the street, and the nun mayor doesn't even have the guts to stand up and throw them out. It's astounding that of all the cities in the country, it's the only one that hasn't had the decency and the guts to clean these bums out. And you know something? I'll tell you what's liable to happen as a trained epidemiologist. You know how epidemics begin? They begin in many ways. One of the ways epidemics begin is exactly through this type of crowding and a lack of hygiene, a lack of sanitation. There could be a typhus outbreak in that encampment. There could be much worse breaking out in that encampment. And if someone gets sick and it spreads in San Francisco, they could have a raging epidemic. The public health director should be arrested in San Francisco, but there is no public health director. There's only a front man for certain lobbying groups to make certain that certain diseases are never talked about. There's no mayor. He's only a front man for certain groups.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Yep.
When you said,
yep,
goodbye, is that a shame?
It is the Savage Nation. This Friday, the latest news from the world is that the UK has finally expelled the vermin from Iran. They threw out the rats, threw them out of their country. They never belonged there to begin with. They don't belong in a family of man. But they finally threw them out because they realize what they're dealing with here. After they broke into their embassy and wrecked it and kept some of the staffers hostage, they finally threw them out. All right, terrific. Typical British. It took them a week to figure out what to do. Here in America, the lunatics running the asylum in the Obama administration are in the news again. His labor secretary says extending unemployment benefits will put people back to work. That's like Nancy Pelosi saying we need to spend more money on solar projects because it's good for the sun. To work harder. Came to make major announcements Saturday. Unemployment drops to 8.6%. Fake figures to begin with. Dem representative caught doing a crossword puzzle on the House floor. What they should really say is doing it on the floor, actually. Doing the puzzle on the floor rather than in her seat. California residents are grappling with windstorm cleanup. Big, big winds. Big, big winds. I hope my boats are okay. Unemployment rate drops to the lowest level since 2009. Campaign manager defends himself against election fraud. Pneumonia-stricken Billy Graham showing improvement. There's a lot of news. You don't want to hear any of this. You can get this anywhere. You go on the internet in 2 seconds, you can get all of this news. And it's good. I mean, thank God we have the internet for news. But we're talking about these questions. This show on the radio has been rated the fastest growing talk radio show on the internet, second only to the golfer, and closing fast. And we asked you, why do you think I, Savage, is doing so well online? I said it's because I appeal to younger internet users than general talk radio listeners, in that I fill a role that's missing in America, that of a missing father in the life of many young men who grew up, God bless their mothers, in a single-family home because the men ran away or whatever, or the uncle around that isn't around anymore. I told you for years there used to be an uncle in every family who came over on a Sunday when there was such a thing called a Sunday dinner. I never had it myself, by the way, but there was a time in America when there was a Sunday dinner when the whole family got together. My father worked 7 days a week, so we really never had those dinners. But there were many American families who did. And it was every Sunday the whole family would get together, and there was always the uncle. And he was the most opinionated uncle. And he had opinions, and he would argue with everybody. And you could never get the best of him, no matter how you tried, because he had his facts down, and he knew what he was talking about. Well, by the time the dinner ended on Sunday night, you couldn't wait till he left, and you left. And you said you'll never talk to him again. But as the week wore on, around Wednesday or Thursday, you're actually looking forward to the next Sunday dinner where you could argue with him again because you knew that there was something about him that was real and you needed somebody to argue with. In many ways, I think that I fill somewhat of that role like Uncle Michael, you know? That's all. It's not a big deal. I mean, I think that explains to an extent why the show is surging on the internet in particular. Is it a big deal? Yes, it's a big deal to me. Whether it's a big deal to you is another story. Then we're talking about other topics, and that includes Donald Trump is going to moderate the next Republican debate. And I say, do you think that that's a good choice? And I want to repeat again, I consider Donald Trump not a friend. I mean, I'm a member of the Mar-a-Lago Club, and I've run into him once or twice last year. I consider him a decent man. But why are the Republicans going so far afield for moderators such as Donald Trump is a question. There are other questions and topics. Let's go to some of the callers. Let's begin with Houston, Texas. Suzanne, welcome to the program.
Michael, you give the advice that everybody else is scared to give. That's why you gave me the best life lesson ever, and that's why I will always be a savage.
All right, now I'm going to have to ask you, what was that advice?
The general state is morose. Everything else is just bonus.
Whoa. What advice did I give you?
You were talking to a caller and explaining your terrible day, and you were saying that the general human state is morose.
Oh!
Everything else is just bonus. What a load off!
You mean, in other words, that you shouldn't personally think there's something wrong with you if you're feeling bad?
Yeah, that it's the general state. It is the natural human
state. Yeah, exactly. The natural state of mankind is somewhat depressed.
Yes, and it takes the load off. There's no pressure.
The doctors have tried to tell you that the natural state of a mild depression is an anomaly and you're sick and you need to go to see the quack and get a pill and then see a therapist for the next 9 years. The fact of the matter is it's the human condition. It's been written about, painted about, talked about. Virtually every artist, every writer, every religious figure has tried to deal with the human condition from the beginning of civilization because most people are agitated and morose.
You were the first person I ever heard say that, and it was like, that's my baseline.
That's right. In other words, the guy who walks around smiling, he's a nut. I can guarantee you he's a nut job. If you meet a guy who has a fixed smile, stay away from him. Run like fire.
But I thank you for that.
If you meet a guy who's miserable, depressed, hanging around by himself on the edge of a bar, that's the guy to look into. We're getting to know better.
I like to be around.
That's right. At least you might get an honest answer out of him. I'm joking a little bit. Be careful of that as well. You never know who anybody is. All right, Suzanne. Copy of Abuse of Power goes out to you for your Christmas holidays. I raised the issue of medical marijuana before because I have a total and absolute campaign to awaken you to the dangers of marijuana. If you're an occasional pot smoker, you're poisoning your mind. You're destroying your chances in life. You're weakening yourself. This is a myth put forward by men like George Soros, who I personally know funded the medical marijuana initiatives in two states many years ago because I argued with his so-called director of these initiatives, It has nothing to do with wanting people to be relieved of pain, in my opinion. The reason they want to legalize marijuana has nothing to do with pain relief. It has to do with dumbing down and doping up the entire nation. Just as, and I told you this before, I'll have to say it to you again, the Chinese were drugged by the English when opium was dumped on the Chinese, and it crippled the nation of China. It crippled the nation of China because tens of millions of people became addicted to opium. The British were the drug dealers of that time. The American ship owners were the drug mules of that time. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, president, his middle name is Delano, the grandfather on the maternal side was a transporter of opium to China for the British. That's how the family made their fortune. Nevertheless, the Chinese did not truly become free until the Boxer Rebellion occurred, and they kicked the British out of, shortly thereafter, kicked the British out of China. Unfortunately, they were then taken over by the gangster regime of Mao Zedong. The communist Chinese then imprisoned them even worse than opium did. Whether they can ever free themselves of the drug of Marxism is another story. But nevertheless, having told you the horrible story of the addiction of the Chinese people to opium, I must tell you that the American people are being addicted to marijuana in droves with the big lie that it's innocuous, that it's not as dangerous as alcohol, that it's not going to harm you. Nothing could be farther from the truth. And you look at Hollywood movies, oh, you want to join? Yeah, everyone just relaxes with a joint like it's cool. It's not cool. It's dangerous. It produces psychosis in many individuals. Just take a look at the Hollywood establishment. Okay, you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, if you want to argue with me on it, go ahead. But I really don't want a million marijuana calls. I think I've covered it. In fact, don't call me on marijuana at all. I just want to tell you right now that there are chemicals found in marijuana smoke that are not even found in cigarette smoke. I mean, we heard for years, big tobacco this, big tobacco that. I don't smoke. It killed my father, you know, tobacco. Are you aware that ammonia is found in mainstream marijuana smoke? Ammonia at levels up to 20-fold greater than that found in tobacco. Do you know that hydrogen cyanide and some aromatic amines, which are highly excitable amines, hydrogen cyanide, were found in marijuana smoke at concentrations 3 to 5 times higher than those found in tobacco smoke. So those of you who are deceived into thinking marijuana is natural and it's healthy for you are being deceived. I can name 50 chemicals that are found in marijuana that can kill you. Benzene, toluene, styrene, formaldehyde. You want to take formaldehyde into your lungs? Go ahead and smoke a J. You want some acetone, acetaldehyde? You want some naphthalene in your lungs? Go smoke a joint. You want benzoapyrenes? You know, many of you won't eat barbecued food, rightly so, because of the blackened component of the barbecued food, because it's the benzoapyrenes that appear. Let's say you barbecue a hamburger or steak, and it turns black. Tastes good, but it's carcinogenic, as anybody of any educational level knows that eating a high amount of barbecued foods is suicide, right? Why? Because the blackened skin on the steak or the fish contains carcinogens such as benzoapyrene. Are you aware that benzoapyrenes are found in marijuana smoke? No, you're not aware of it. And that's because there's a gigantic enterprise to convince you that smoking marijuana is not only not dangerous, but it's good for you. The same cretins who are pushing the lie of global warming are pushing the lie of marijuana being innocuous. That's all I can tell you, and I don't even want to argue with you. You know, what I just read to you is not opinion, it's fact, period. Don't call me on marijuana, because the more you argue with me, the more it proves that you're addicted to the drug. The more you try to rationalize your dope smoking, the more addicted you are, and you need treatment. You don't need to call this show, because you're never going to convince me of the lies that you're being told, because the facts are the chemicals I read to you found in dope are real. You want to kill yourself? Keep smoking marijuana. You want to slow your mind down on the road to death? Keep on smoking marijuana. Now you understand why dope is called dope, don't you, dope? I'll be right back, dope.
Savage. We'll be right back.
the attack on Christianity continues in America. The embrace of Islam rolls along like a freight train, while the attack upon Christianity, unfortunately, rolls along as well. The Christophobia has never been at this level. Here's a story that should get you sick. Students and parents in Fort Worth, Texas, are outraged after the school district declared that Christmas celebrations, including visits from Santa Claus, would no longer be allowed during the school day. Fort Worth did this. Can you believe this? A spokesmouth for the school district said, in an effort to be politically correct, teachers are not allowed to post something that would foster or promote or impugn one doctrine or religion over another, or even give that impression. This is total insanity. What about teachers and students who are Christians and want to celebrate Christmas? If I were a Christian in Fort Worth, I would march on the school, I would occupy the school, I would fire the school district's board and replace them with human beings. When you're going to let a group of small-time atheists and small-time troublemakers overtake a nation like this, you will lose the nation. Frankly, if you want to look at the truth, America is fundamentally still a Christian nation. And it is time for Americans to stand up and push back against this increasing encroachment upon Christians' First Amendment rights. That's it. Period. End of story. You don't like it? Move to Tehran and put on a burqa. 1-800-449-8255. Portland, Oregon. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hi, Michael.
Go ahead.
Thanks so much for having me on. I've been listening to you since before your mom passed away. I'm a huge fan. I feel like I'm part of your family. Mm-hmm. I know you very well. I love you. I think you're the most educated, the most honest. You have the best sense of humor. And once you get that, once you're smart enough and honest enough to realize that about you, you just can't let go.
So I'm part of your life now. I mean, you have to have a little bit of savage every night. How long do you listen to this show on average per night or per week?
Well, now that you're available on my iPhone, I listen to you almost all 3 hours every day. And I have been, quite honestly, most of the time since, like I said, before your mom passed away.
That's amazing. No, but this is astounding. So you used to listen to me on a station in Portland, and now you're listening on an iPhone?
Yeah, well, not everyone can, you know, get that. You know, you get it, and I don't know if I can say that, but... But
I don't understand one part of this whole puzzle, which is how a station's going to stay in business when so many millions of people are listening to radio shows on iPhones. I don't even know how the stations manage to stay afloat. I mean, I need my stations in order to be in the business. Don't get me wrong. But how in the world do they stay in business if a younger crowd is now moving to listening to us on radio, on iPhones? I don't understand that. Anyway, Chris, a copy of Abuse of Power. You mentioned my mother. I got very sad. It hit me like a rock just now. I was driving around a federal highway. I just, everywhere I looked, I saw my mother. You know, it's been a long time. It was one dark December night like this that I got the call out in California, how to fly out. Look, it's the, you know, way of all flesh. What are you going to do? It's the way of all flesh. Because I was joking around. I was riding around a federal highway with my friend, Jack. Dr. Sarfati is with us. From California, he's never been here. So I said, Jack, notice that every mall, virtually every strip mall on Federal Highway in the Boca area going north, there is an Italian restaurant. So he said, well, why is that? I said, it's all witness protection restaurants. He said, come on, you're kidding me. I said, I don't know what else explains it. It can't be that there's that many Italians around. I never saw anything like it. Every strip mall, the littlest to the biggest, Sal's and Hal's and Buddy's and I never saw anything like this. Everywhere you turn, and it's beautiful for people who love Italian food like I do, but how many Italian restaurants can you eat in? The one thing you can't get here, though, it's like a landscape without good Chinese food. You can't get it. They're around, but they're like Queens restaurants from the 50s that like killed your father. You know what I'm saying? Greasy with those noodles. I don't even know they made those crispy noodles anywhere but for Boca Raton. You know those things that like you put your hand in it and you need to go wash your hands afterwards that a certain ethnic group ate by the pound before they had the bad Chinese food, the egg drop soup and all? That's all you get out here in Chinese food. There's no real elegant. There's no haka. There's no nothing. There's schmaka, but there's no haka.
Savage. I think President Obama's a nice guy, but I don't think he understands America. I don't think he understands our economy. I don't think he understands the power of free people, free to choose their course in life. And instead, he believes that government has the answers.
Oh, man. That was Mr. Romney. You know, if he is the selected one, I'll certainly vote for him. But boy, oh boy, he needs to do better than that. He's being misadvised by his advisors who are shafting him, running him off the track. I only wish to God somebody close to Romney would tell him to fire his advisors. They're going to destroy him, as they already have. But he won't do it, just as the last. Remember Romney? Do you remember the last election when Obama was a fluke and won? Do you remember what happened? Romney was ahead in the early primaries and all of this and that. And then an unknown state out of nowhere, they hacked up McCain. Do you remember what they did? They dredged up the old tire McCain, and McCain overtook Romney. We're seeing history repeat itself. Now, why do you suppose the power structure ran that old McCain instead of Romney? Why did they want McCain to run against Obama so they can get Obama in power? The power structure wanted Obama to win. They're doing it all over again. And I don't know whether Romney knows he's a fall guy, or he is, whether he's knowingly a fall guy or not knowingly a fall guy. In either case, to see a guy, a retread like Gingrich, playing the role that McCain played in the last election is extremely agitating to me, by the way. Very, very agitating. It's sickening, to be honest with you. So here we are on Friday night on the Savage Nation. We're taking calls on all these topics. If you care to call us, it's 1-800-449-8255. I admit that I occasionally have a Dolly-esque view of the political landscape, but that's about all. You need to be sort of somewhat of a Salvador Dali to make heads or tails out of this, you know, where an arm comes out of the head and an eye comes out of the foot, because it makes no sense otherwise. 1-800, I said already 1-800. Las Vegas, JD, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Doctor, what a pleasure. Twice in a month, never in 5 years. Your subject matter, it's all over the place, and that's what I love, because of the knowledge you have. Somebody calls you and you talk about the marijuana with such expertise because of the vast knowledge you have. I don't know if you remember me. I told you about my grandfather who told his kids not to speak to me in Italian.
Yes, I do. You called last week. I do. Well, I appreciate that. Yes, I do have a scientific background. I have a real PhD in real science subjects from a great university. It does give me some insights into information that I think needs to get out there. It's as simple as that. Florida, we haven't heard from anybody on in the Florida area. I hope he's listening on WFTL down here in the Boca Raton area, Leon, in Fort Lauderdale, really. Leon, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Uncle Mike, I can't believe it. They're changing the format on the call letter deficient station with that transmitter that's over the water.
How is that possible that they got rid of everybody, including your good friend Bill W.? All of them are gone, with the exception of the one guy who's been there with a Hawaiian shirt, you know, with B.O. for the last 20 years doing this. They can't get rid of him because his agent signed such a good contract, but they're switching it all over to news.
I started listening to you when you were on Sunday nights, just before the good doctor there.
Oh, my goodness. Now, what are you doing? You're retired here in Florida from the Bay Area?
Well, I'm semi-retired, but I moved here because my wife was ill, and now I'm solo.
Oh, you don't tell me she passed on.
Yeah, she had breast cancer.
Oh, that's sad. That's sad. That's not an easy thing to deal with. Well, you know that the state of California is running 4 referendums to raise state income tax again? Do you know that they're going to tax people, high earners, an additional 2-5%, that's Jerry Brown's idea of how to run a state? They're going to wind up running every productive citizen out of that rotten state. You know what they're going to have left? A stinking third world nation. That's all they're going to have. They'll have illegal immigrants who pay no taxes and deadbeats who pay no taxes. Who is going to pay the taxes if they run the high earners out, Leon?
It makes absolutely no sense. Nobody is.
Yeah, well, that's what you get. You elect a moonbeam, you get moonbeams. What I mean, this is his idea, Jerry Brown. Oh, I have a brilliant idea how to balance the budget. Let's take the most productive citizens and make it impossible for them to stay here. Oh, Leon, it's a horrible situation. 1-800-4. Let's go to St. Petersburg, Florida. No, I got to go north now. I was south. I got to go north, then I got to go west, then I got to go east. News, northeast, west, and south. I never knew. You know, I was interested in this as a child. When I used to watch the news as a kid while eating those heart-destroying meals that my mother made for me, God bless her soul, the steak, the French fries, the vanilla ice cream on a tray, about 5 o'clock it would be dark. I love watching the evening news before the early show, the early show, and then the late show. I was always a television addict, to be very honest with you. I'm a media fanatic. I have been since I'm a kid. But when I saw the weather vane, north, east, west, and south, I didn't know the news meant north, east, west, and south. Till that, I learned it as a kid, the weather vane, north, east, west. Did you know that? The acronym news simply means north, east, west, and south. It was like a kid when you learn what an acronym means, it's amazing how you say, wow, okay, that makes sense with the word news. Because what does news mean? What are news, news? What does news mean? News. Keep saying it to you. News, N-U-Z-E, news, news, N-E-W-Z, news, news. Or if you're from Staten Island, N-O-O-S-E, news, news. You know, you keep saying it over and over again. It has no meaning. It loses its meaning. Did you realize news means something? North, east, west, and south. They cull the most meaningless information that they can from around the planet and feed it to you to make certain you don't know how you're getting screwed by the government. So on MichaelSavage.com, we try to cull some of the most important information. Top right, Gingrich co-sponsored Fairness Doctrine Bill. Now, why is Fox News pushing Gingrich? Why is Fox News pushing this man? Savage Nation, fastest growing talk show on internet. We covered that already. Let's go to the bottom so I don't get bored. More military dogs show signs of combat stress. All right, what are you going to do? Look, you run them in those environments. Of course, they're going to get freaked out. Mom charged with self-abortion for trash can baby, New York Daily News. A man sorting recyclables discovered the body in a trash can. I guess you got to go back to the dance, you know, after all, that's the values they teach him in the New York City public schools. Baby in trash in Upper Manhattan was killed. Young mom charged with, young mom, I love the word mom, I like to, young mom? That you call that a mom? The young mother of a dead female fetus? That's a mother? Yarabelli Almonte, age 20. Yarabelli Almonte, there's a name for you. Wrapped the fetus in plastic and dumped the fetus in a bin outside her building on West 191st Street. Yarabelli Almonte. A man sorting recyclables discovered the child's lifeless body Tuesday. And Yarabelli Almonte was charged Wednesday night. Under state law, a woman can be charged with self-abortion if the fetus is older than 24 weeks. I would charge her with murder, not with abortion. How's that? Charge her with murder. Look at the value, valueless. I have no words for this. People would love to adopt babies. This is amazing to me. It's sickening. I can't even talk about this. And why in this day and age, with all of the contraception available, why would a woman do this? Why would she throw a baby into a garbage can? What a sick society. This is what happens when God is dead. This is what happens when a society of atheists takes over. This is what happens when you have Marxists running a school system. This is what happens when you have drug addicts on television laughing at God and the church. I can go down the list, that's all. I don't want to get depressed on a Friday night. I'm going to make you unhappy. New York, WOR. Marty, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, there are many, many reasons for your skyrocketing popularity, especially among the young people. But here is just one of the reasons why, in my opinion, so many young people are listening to you. I'm 69 years old, Michael. I have a son who is now 37. And years ago, we were talking about what it was like growing up in my generation as opposed to growing up in his generation. Mm-hmm. And one day, my son said to me, he said, "You know what's wrong with you, Dad?" He said, "Your generation was never allowed to be pissed off about anything. You didn't dare question anything. And yet here you are, Michael, same age as me, challenging and questioning and screaming about everything." And I think that this really resonates with young people.
Wait, that's an interesting statement your son made. I didn't know we weren't allowed to be angry. I've been angry from the time I was a child.
Well, I sure as hell wasn't allowed. But
I was a mirthful child. I was mischievous. I was funny. I wasn't a particularly angry child. I became angry when I became a young man and I saw what the liberals had done to me as a person. how they had lied to me every step of the way. I don't want to go into it and sound like a bitter person because I'm actually, I'm capable of anger, but I'm actually not embittered. I'll tell you that right now, Marty.
Young people, I think they love the anger and they totally understand that your anger is not shtick, it's not affect, it's real, it's you.
Well, when you hear a story that a town bans Santa Claus, is that not something to get angry over when you have a country that glorifies Islam, glorifies Muslims, expunges any statement about Islam being a violent religion, tries to tell our soldiers that they're not even fighting people who are Muslim? Is that not a reason to get angry when you see a nation committing suicide with such morons running the country?
Well, let me ask you a question. Tell me how they get away with this. December 25th is a religious holy day, but it is also a legal holiday.
Yeah. I don't get
it. Like protesting the flying of the American flag on Memorial Day.
But what's your point? I'm missing that.
The point is December 25th is a legal holiday in addition to being a religious holy day.
Yes, therefore?
Therefore, you know, you would think that somebody would mention that.
Well, you know, you want to get me into this from an educated person's point of view. You know, December 25th as the birth date of Jesus is a myth, that you know, right?
Well, yes.
Okay, every educated person knows that. In fact, I can go a few steps beyond that because I was astonished when I first learned it when I was, learning these things. The church fathers were so threatened by the advent of Mithrasism, another religion from Iran, by the way, at the time, which was sweeping the Christian nations. And Mithraism celebrated December 25th as a winter holiday, as a holy day. The church fathers wisely usurped the date of December 25th and made it into the date of Christ's birth in order to get the Christians back into the fold. You know that, Marty? I mean, it's all true.
No, but it's interesting. I'm learning this now.
It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with celebrating the birthday of Jesus. It's just it's not that day. No one really knows the day he was born. And thank God that they were smart enough to save their religion then. I only wish they knew how to save it today. Right now, they're so busy defending themselves from claims of child abuse that they can't even save their own religion from being destroyed altogether.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, Marty, that's a very interesting conversation we've just had. I'm going to send you a copy of Abuse of Power. I hope I have more left to give out. We're almost gone. The printing is almost gone. I'm really telling you, if you're going to buy a book for the holidays and you want a first printing, you realize in 100 years what that book might be worth on eBay? It's unbelievable what it could be worth. God, look at the time. It's speeding away, and I didn't want it to go so fast because I'm actually having a good time, you know. Here we have Islamic terrorism on the planet, and the Obama administration has expunged the word Islam from any criticism whatsoever. They've told the FBI, the Department of Justice, the military is told never to say a bad word, not one word about the religion, even when the religion itself calls for killing infidels and Christians and Jews. Not one word, but you wake up and find that Christianity is under attack everywhere in the country. It's astounding to me, which is why we're not able to win the war on Islamic terrorism. The reason we have not really won the war about Islamic terrorism is because we can't even define the enemy. Let me put it to you this way. They have certainly defined their enemy. Just figure that one out. You may not be able to define our enemy. You send your boys into combat, but they're not supposed to know who they're fighting. But believe me, the enemy knows who they are, and they certainly know who their enemy is. That's for sure. I'd like to see one candidate, and I'll put a challenge out to you in the audience, has one candidate on the Republican side mentioned the word Islamic terrorism? Have they? If they haven't, I haven't heard it. We've heard a lot of talk, but we have not heard one word about the threat to our civilization from Islamic terrorism. Think about that, and I'll be right back.
Savage.
Devil or angel, I can't make up my mind. Which one you are, I'd like to wake up and find.
It is the Savage Nation. Of course, I'm not going to give you the phone number. You know what, the lines are jammed. We've been talking about a lot of topics, and we'll go to the callers immediately. St. Petersburg, Florida. Bill, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. Welcome back to Florida, by the way.
Thank you.
I look at you as a visual encyclopedia, sir.
I remember my father, who I had a good father, who actually spent a lot of time with me, and we spoke a lot when I was a child, and he always used to tell me that knowledge is power. Hmm. And I think what you are is a powerful person when it comes to knowledge, and I think that's what's gravitating people to you. I think that's why you have a growing audience online. And, you know, when somebody talks to you straightforward and they give you that straight information, I think people respond to that, Michael.
Well, I hope that that is the fact, Bill. It's hard to say. One never really knows the real reason. I suspect that there was an emotional element related to the lack of a father figure in America that would explain it in part, because to me that made most sense. But there are many reasons, you know. I mean, there are many reasons of the kind. Your father, I assume, is no longer with us?
Yes, my father passed away about 4 or 5 years ago, but he was one of those gentlemen that really spent a lot of time with me, and we sat together many Saturdays. We'd go to the zoo together.
Oh, you were lucky. You were lucky. You're a lucky man. Well, I mean, Bill, but realistically, you're an older man. Do you find that my voice fills that void for you in a way?
It does in many ways, Michael. A lot of times I'll be sitting around and I'll say, my goodness, that just something that Michael just said would be something that my father would have said to me. And it's an amazing relationship when you can sit in your house and listen to somebody that's obviously in a prominent media figure like yourself, and you can bring it down to a level that we all understand. And I think that's what it is. It's a theater of the mind, I guess.
Yes, yeah, no, that's true. Radio is a theater of the mind. It's one of the last vestiges of a pure theater of the mind. Obviously, because all I have is my voice. I don't have the legs to cross nor the lipstick to use that they use for the males on Fox News. You know, someone told me early days of radio, one of the biggest shots in the business, he said, you know, when I listen to you in the car, I feel as though you're grabbing me into the speaker of the car. You literally reach out and pull me into the speaker. Or another one said, it's as though you're talking to me in a living room. You know, that kind of thing. Bill, that's beautiful to hear from you from St. Petersburg. Thank you. Susie in Boston on WRKO, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I feel like you're a salty old dog, and I love listening to you because you say it like it is.
All right. There's a vote, of confidence on that one. Connecticut, Chris, fire away. One shot. Go ahead, please.
I tell you, there's two reasons why I listen to you. Number one, because of the station that you're on. The Talk of Connecticut here is surrounded and contains all the best and most direct talk. Second, of all, because I'm an ordained minister, you tell like it is regarding God. We
mm-hmm.
have a show on a competing station. It's called Church and State that I don't even listen to because it's a mishmash. You tell it like it is with God. And
I
passion.
Think what you feel is that I actually fear God and I know God exists. I mean, it's as simple as that. I don't have to talk about it as much as others who are faking it because in the fact of the matter is in my voice you hear that. Is that correct?
That is very correct. Comes through loud and clear, and I say amen to everything.
Well, God bless you, man. Thanks, you, Chris. You know, AM radio is a very tricky business to be in. You know, this is not a religious broadcast, but on the other hand, is what you believe is what you believe, and that's all there is to it, and there's no faking that. Phoenix, Arizona. Pat, you're up. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it's the unpredictability of the show. I listen to a lot of talk radio. I read the Drudge Report, and that's what I see most of these people talk about, what's on the Drudge Report. I would have accustomed to
That's 100% right. In fact, I was told by a very highly placed person that who did an analysis of it. Almost every conservative does their show directly from that report, and they have absolutely – they don't even vary the script.
May I share also
– I'm sorry. I'm almost flat out of time in this hour. I mean, it's a big, big problem we have. Romney is not gaining any support. It's a big problem for him. It's not solely because he's a Mormon. I'm shocked that people would hold his Mormonism against him when Obama's Muslim fathers was never made an issue by the vermin in the media. I'm stunned that no one on the Republican ticket has stood up for Romney on that and attacked these atheistic vermin and then said to them, how dare you even suggest it when you let the president get away with his Mormon background, with his Muslim background. I'm shocked that none of the Republicans would take this on.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Everyone's asking what's happening to Romney. Why is he falling behind in the polls to this retread, this broken suitcase Gingrich? Well, pundits from all sides of the aisle are analyzing what happened to Romney. And I'll start with the liberals. A liberal from the Time magazine says that Romney is an unloved, forlorn frontrunner. What does that mean? We don't know. He's uninspiring to moderates and untrustworthy to conservatives. I think that's close to the truth. But the fact of the matter is, they say that Romney's campaign has been the least accessible presidential campaign in memory. What does that mean? It's exactly what it means. He's tightly contained in a little lockdown box, and he won't reach out to the average person. He looks like an uptight, old-fashioned businessman. And the problem is he won't listen to anybody except the advisors who are killing him, in my opinion. There's also another problem here, and then there's a tragedy to it. And the tragedy is that Romney will not come on the Savage Nation, even though he knows the independent conservatives are the key to the election. Now there are others who are chiming in on the Romney question. And hold on here. For example, the Los Angeles Times, a liberal rag, reports that a focus group sheds light on Mitt Romney's struggles. And some of it is interesting, but most of it is written as a hit piece on Romney in order to destroy him even further. But it's interesting to look at this, of what ails Mitt Romney to this focus group. A pollster tacked up photos of the Republican presidential hopefuls on the wall, and they asked the focus group, if this person were not a politician, what profession would he or she be in? Romney's picture evokes some positive connections, such as minister and businessman, but most answers carried a derisive sting. He would be a TV pitchman, an actor, or a salesman. We know that for 5 months, one after another of Romney's rivals have crashed. Bachman, Perry, Kane. And here Romney has piles of money, impressive organization. He ran for the White House before, former Massachusetts governor. Why is he not profiting from his rivals' declines? Well, I'll answer the question. Because conservatives don't trust him. It's as simple as that. I don't expect that answer to come from pollsters who are out to destroy him. The fact is there's weak leadership. The fact is he's got no excitement, but most importantly, where's the beef, so to speak? Another question posed to people was this: if the candidate being shown were a member of your family, who would he be? Gingrich came first, drawing comparisons to a grandfather, a father, a favorite uncle. Then came Romney's turn, and answers came such as follows: Romney would be a neighbor, a cousin twice removed, or richer than the rest of us, so he wouldn't come to our events. Another person said, the dad who's never come home. The dad who's never home. Another scenario was offered. Imagine the candidate at an airline ticket counter badly needing to catch a flight. Five people are in line ahead of him, and only one ticket remains. What would the candidate do? Romney, the group said, would try to buy his way to the front. So that's the hit on him by this fake pollster. So I'll ask you today on the Savage Nation, why is Romney struggling? That's a lead story today on the Savage Nation, a very important one, especially when you have a busted suitcase like Gingrich, allegedly ahead 21 points in a poll of Republicans. For the Savage Nation today, include this. The Savage Nation has been rated the fastest growing talk radio show on the internet. Why do you think Savage is doing so well online? And why do you think Savage appeals more to younger internet users than other talk radio hosts? In fact, Beowulf That should be the lead question. Rate the next Republican debate. Do you think Donald Trump is the right choice? Who do you think would make a good moderator other than me? Kane will make a major announcement about his campaign tomorrow, in which he will probably resign. What do you think his next job should be? We have some choices here. Fox News analyst, marriage counselor, financial advisor for single women, spiritual counselor to Bill Clinton. John Corzine has been subpoenaed to testify before Congress. Do you actually think he will face any legal consequences for his behavior? Ex-Washington State and ex-Rhode Island have asked the federal government to allow medical marijuana to be sold. Are you a conservative who believes medical marijuana should be legal? How do you justify your position? Have you ever overcome pot use? How did you do it, and how is your life better since you kicked the pot?
The reason that they're passing all of these voter suppression laws around the country is because of so-called rampant voter fraud. To then hypocritically abolish this commission or attempt to abolish the commission is just the height of hypocrisy. It's very transparent who they're trying to block from the polls and who they want to smooth the path for. The big issue is that you have about 11% of Americans that don't have a photo ID. And then for certain populations like African Americans, Hispanics, seniors, low-income folks, they are even less likely more likely to not have a photo ID. 25% of African Americans in this country don't have a photo ID. And it isn't necessary. It's just an obstacle in the path of getting someone to the polls. What they're doing is trying to make sure that because they can't win an election on the merits, they're trying to rig these elections by ensuring the people who will go to the polls and vote for Democrats can't get there.
Come on, that's ridiculous. But identity theft is something you have to take seriously. What if someone stole your credit cards and tried to destroy your life? Don't be a victim. Call my advertiser, LifeLock, today. Call LifeLock now at 1-800-LOCK-485 and get 60 risk-free days just for Savage listeners. 1-800-LOCK-485. Call them now. And now let's go to michaelsavage.com for all these stories and more. Here is what's on the top of my website. Gingrich co-sponsored the Fairness Doctrine bill. I swear to God. Go look at it up. Go look it up. That's right. All Newt co-sponsored the Fairness Doctrine bill, which would have killed talk radio. Savage Nation is the fastest growing talk show on the internet. Savage solidifies the number 2 spot in November, yet he's never seen on Fox News. What does that tell you about Fox News? 8% of Californians need mental health care. I didn't think it was that low. The Senate okays sodomy and bestiality in the U.S. military. The bill repeals a ban on unnatural carnal copulation. Isn't that wonderful? House panel votes to subpoena Corzine at MF Global. Good luck. Eric Holder, the controversial, corrupt attorney general, has been outed today, showing an early ATF concern on Fast and Furious probe, that is machine guns to Mexico, despite what he said. New York City mayor talks of his own army. I don't know what that means. I have no idea what that means. You better read it. Also on michaelsavage.com, they've turned Occupy London into Animal Farm. The Senate votes 100-0 on sanctions for Iran, opposing Obama again. A visa bill would pave the way for more Mexicans to make the United States its home. 10 months ago, McCain said Muslim Brotherhood couldn't win in Egypt. He was wrong. I was right. Democrats push back against voter ID laws. They want anyone to be able to vote. And now on the bottom of michaelsavage.com, oh, no. Retrials granted in black-on-white torture slayings. I can't even read this. Took a young white couple, tortured and raped them, and then set them on fire. I can't read this story from Knoxville, Tennessee. How much more can this country take? More military dogs show signs of combat stress. Even the chew toys haven't worked to bring down their anxiety. Sad story. Mom charged with self-abortion for trash can baby. A man sorting recyclables discovered the baby in a trash can. That's the country you live in. You can't blame Obama for that one, I think. All this and more today on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I remember when I was a young biology student at Queens College, you know, little peon in the classroom. And our heroes were Watson and Crick, going back to, wow, another age. They uncoiled the double helix of DNA. So they were the heroes, even though allegedly they ripped it off from a lab assistant, a woman assistant, a radiological specialist, who I'm sorry to tell you, I forget her name. But it was her X-ray crystallography that I think actually deciphered the double helix, if I remember correctly. It's 50 years ago, so forgive me. So anyway, I'm a young undergrad, you know, mediocre student at best, very bad interest, and I was interested in things, but I was a bad student. So our heroes were Watson and Crick. But when one of them won the Nobel Prize, and I think it was Watson, I don't know which, they showed him at Cambridge when he's giving a lecture, and a student comes up and says, "Sir, you've just won the Nobel Prize." And he says with the then very famous British, you know, understatement, he says, "Yes, thank you," and he goes on with his lecture. No popping of champagne, no hoorays, no celebrations, and he went on with his life, and because that's the way he was. As a matter of fact, Watson was recently fired from Cold Spring Harbor, wasn't he, for saying something politically incorrect about 5 years ago? Didn't he say something equivalent to Rick's Rock? I mean, didn't they try to smear him with the Rick's Rock thing? Yeah. See, they take a great man like that, a great scientist like that, says one wrong word, and he gets thrown out of Cold Spring Harbor, thrown out of science, because, you know, we're living in a terrible age, by the way. We're not living in the age of enlightenment anymore. Not with Obama. He introduced the age of something else. He didn't bring in the age of enlightenment, let's be clear. Obama ushered in another age. I haven't defined yet what it is. But it's not the age of enlightenment. I think the age of enlightenment ended a long time ago, long before Obama. But this man did not bring in the age of progressivism either. He brought in the age of something much different. Some would say the age of tyranny. But he's so good at it, so silk smooth at it, you don't even know that you're being put into the chair. You don't even know you're being strapped into the chair or strapped onto the gurney. He's so smooth at it, you're putting your hands into the cuffs. He is so smooth at it, you're taking the bagel on the way into the boxcar. He's so smooth at it, you're saying you could have another smear of cream cheese on the way into the boxcar. But all right, you don't want to know that. You want to live in a dream world, because you can go buy a green tie, red tie, yellow tie. You can buy a red car, blue car, yellow car. You can buy a big car, small car, medium car. You can buy an SUV, an LEV, an LSMFT, and you think you're free. You're not free. You're a slave. You are a slave, and I don't mean a wage slave. That's been said a long time ago. You are a slave of your own views of progressivism. You don't even understand what you're talking about when you think that Obama's a progressive. But again, I don't want to go there. I wanted to talk about Amanda Knox. I was pleased to see it was a story today, so I can get off the tyranny of Obama for a minute and the abuse of power of the British and American governments. But all roads lead back to the same abusiveness. At the end of the day, all roads lead back to the abuse of a government. And it's a very frightening thing to say. Here I was, a man who had never committed a crime, never appeared as a defendant in a criminal trial, never accused of an actual crime, and yet I was put on a list with Russian skinheads in prison for murdering 10 immigrants, put on a list with a Hamas murderer who executed two Jewish parents and crushed in the head of their 4-year-old daughter with a rifle butt. Why was I put on a list with these criminals without a trial? Amanda Knox was given a trial and an appeal. I wasn't even given a trial by the people who invented the Magna Carta. So again, I'm harping on that old story. You're bored of it, aren't you? Banned in Britain. But you didn't really care about my book, Banned in Britain, or about my story being banned in Britain, because you didn't hear about it, read about it, see about it, talk about it. So I said, all right, the only way to reach the American people is through a novel. Do you realize what a long shot just came in for me? Do you have any idea, if you're a betting man, what this is? The guy feels he has a grudge against the government that did this to him. He writes a nonfiction book, and a couple of thousand people. He has a radio show. No one really cares. It's forgotten, buried. Old story, gone. So the guy says, I'll tell you what, I'll fictionalize the story to show what's really going on. And all of a sudden, the book is on the New York Times bestseller list as a fiction, as a story. It's unheard of. When have you heard of a political man writing a fictionalized book about a plight he has, who hits it so high on a New York Times bestseller list? When have you ever heard about this? I don't think I've heard about it. There may be a few cases. A few ideas come to mind, but not in fiction. I mean, Emil Zola wrote a book, but he didn't fictionalize it in order to trumpet the cause of someone who had been falsely condemned for a crime he didn't commit. I think he has a descendant, this guy, who's a bad movie actor. I forget his name. Dreyfus. The world's worst actor in history. But the Dreyfus affair, man sent to Devil's Island for a crime he didn't commit, railroaded by the French government. No one ever heard of him. Nobody would do a thing for him. And then Emile Zola went to his defense, but he didn't write a novel. He just started to talk about it, and then he got him, you know, got him off. And he got Dreyfus back to the military. Nobody went to my defense. So here I am, still doing it. You want me to tell you what my age is? I can guarantee you'd be shocked to find out that men half my age don't have my energy. Why? What motivates me? I have no idea. I don't know. My quest for personal justice, personal freedom, supersedes even my sense of safety. Do you know that? Do you hear what I just said to you? That's a pretty amazing statement. Because if you're not willing to speak out, you are already a slave. If you are not willing to express your political opinions at work or at home, I know that Newt Gingrich is another big government Republican socialist along the lines of George W. Bush. And if another big government Republican wins, we can kiss the country and the Republican Party, not exactly goodbye, but goodbye as we know it. Joining us right now on the Savage Nation with his opinion is Brian Darling, a columnist for Human Events and a senior fellow for government studies at the Heritage Foundation. Brian Darling, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to talk to you today.
What damage would another big government Republican like Newt do to this country?
Well, it'd be a real problem for this country if Republicans nominated somebody who's not going to shrink the federal government, somebody who's not willing to look back at the Bush years and see that some mistakes were made. I mean, you look at No Child Left Behind. You look at the Medicare prescription drug benefit. You look at the fact that spending was out of control and nobody did anything about that. That is going to be something that the Republican base isn't going to like. And they also want to make sure that many of the federal powers that are being taken away from the people and put in Washington, D.C., and we see it every day when if you board a plane, you're getting searched extensively. That's a problem. I don't think the American people like that. They want to see a smaller government, and they want to see a Republican Party that supports the idea of spending less money and stop the harassment of the American people.
Would a Newt Gingrich or another big government Republican presidency be worse than Bush's presidency at this time?
It could. I mean, obviously, President Obama is just doing a miserable job as president. He's, you know, done an incompetent job running this country. He's an extreme left winger, and if Republicans run as the Democrat light party, I don't think the American people are going to be very excited about that. They may end up voting for Republicans because they dislike the Republicans less than they dislike the Democrats. But that's really no way to run a country. I mean, the American people want to see a Ronald Reagan-like character run for president, be bold, say they're going to slash the federal government, we're going to cut spending. I mean, we are right now in debt to the tune of $15 trillion as a nation. That's the whole economic output of this country every year. And all we have to do is look to Greece and Italy and all these countries that are collapsing to see what our future is going to bring us if we continue down this road. So we don't need Republicans or Democrats running for president that are just going to expand spending and expand the scope and size of the federal government.
But what does it tell you about this field that you have a big government socialist like Newt Gingrich leading?
Well, I mean, you're looking at the Democrats are going to be running a European socialist-style presidential candidate, Barack Obama. And if Republicans don't show a stark contrast to that, then why would the American people vote for the Republicans? It's really a difficult situation for the American people to figure out what the big difference is between the parties if they sound so much alike. I mean, there are going to be clear differences on many issues, but there should be a real difference in the sense that we need to just go in a totally different direction. I mean, what is a Tea Party all about? What do they want? They don't want politicians, run-of-the-mill politicians, to just go to Washington and just to become president for the sake of becoming president. They want ideologues that are going to shrink the government, to get the government off the back of the American people, to get the TSA off the back of people when they go to fly. They want to see the federal government stop spending money on wasteful programs left and right. They don't want to see crony capitalism where their tax dollars are stolen away from them and given to these ridiculous energy programs like Solyndra and SunPower and these other companies that are just basically stealing from the American people. And so they want to see radical change. They don't want to see hope and change, but they also don't want to see hope and change light if Republicans see fit to put that forward as the alternative to President Obama.
Is there anyone out there who you think can stop the massive expansion of big government?
I think the world of Senator Jim DeMint of South Carolina. I think the world of Senator Mike Lee of Utah, of Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky. I think we have some great leaders in Washington, D.C. that are doing a wonderful job in leading America towards constitutional conservatism and fighting against an ever-expanding federal government. I wish we had more of those candidates in the presidential race right now, but we just don't seem to have them out there. But we want to see, American people want to see candidates that are really fighting not only against the Democrats. I mean, Republicans clearly have to fight the Democrats if they're going to have a difference, but Republicans need to fight against Republicans, and they need to fight against the establishment-style Republicans that aren't going to change the way things are done in Washington. They'll do things in a Republican way, but they're not going to do things in a constitutional way that would bring us back to our founding principles and promote liberty and freedom and a much smaller federal government, going back to the core functions of the federal government. We just are not seeing that distinction right now. We're not seeing a dramatic difference between Republicans and Democrats, and that's probably one of the reasons why you look at poll numbers. Most of the American people look at Washington, and they have disdain for Washington. They hate Washington, and it's not that they hate President Obama. It's not that they hate, you know, Republicans and fighting on these different issues. They hate all of them. They hate politicians because they feel like politicians are going to Washington to gather more power for themselves. Many of them are engaging in allegedly insider trading to enrich themselves, and they don't like it. They want to see people like Mike Lee, like Jim DeMint, like Rand Paul, that go to Washington to fight for real change.
Can the Republican Party actually survive with another big government Republican?
No, there's no way that the Republican Party can survive if they go down the road of nominating somebody who's going to get in the White House and act like a big government Republican, expanding the size and scope of the federal government without showing that they respect the constitutional rights of all Americans to have free speech, to carry a firearm, and to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures. I mean, the American people, they really look at Washington and see Washington is stealing from them, constantly trying to raise taxes, take more of their money. And as you all know, I mean, all this spending that's going on is a hidden tax on future generations. The $15 trillion that this federal government has spent that they don't have is a tax on our kids and our grandkids. That's theft, and that's wrong. And I think the American people want to see somebody go to Washington to say, you know what I'm going to do tomorrow? I'm going to just balance the budget. I'm not going to spend a dime in deficit spending. I'm going to cut the federal government so we're not stealing from future generations. And if we don't have any Republicans that are going to go to Washington and do that, then maybe it's time for the American people to look elsewhere, because the Republican Party right now really hasn't. There are members that have stood up on principle, but there are only a handful of them. And I think there's a big fight within the Republican Party right now, whether they're going to go all in with the Tea Party and go for real change, or they're going to stick with the establishment types that maybe want to make some changes around the margins, but they're not ready to go all in and change America, which has to happen in the very near future, or we're going to go careening down the road of Greece. We're going to have massive debt. We may have maybe in 10, 20, 30 years, our federal government might actually go insolvent, and then we're going to have real problems.
Brian Darling, thanks for being with us on The Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to talk to you. I hope you can check out my latest column at humanevents.com on Monday.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Don't know what tonight's going to bring, let alone tomorrow. I mean, we make plans. Sure, we plan. Everyone thinks they're going to live a ripe old age. They're going to be surrounded. They're going to get a little ill, not totally ill, not very badly ill, never cancer, no heart attack, nothing like that. That happens to other people. They're just going to slowly slow down, and they're going to wind up sitting quietly in a resort somewhere, a resort-like retirement community. They'll be able to take care of themselves right to the end, and they'll be surrounded by loving friends and family, and they will die in their sleep at approximately 99 years of age. It happens, perhaps one out of a billion. I don't know what the number is now. Maybe one out of 500 million might go that way, or one out of 300 million. I don't really have the numbers, but it's not happening to you, Johnson. More likely, it will be a horrendous slow death, either from cancer or some other debilitating disease, or even worse yet, Alzheimer's disease, where you're left for hours at a time in a nursing home in a corner, staring at a curtain, unable to move and not knowing who you are, where an orderly will beat you about the head and neck slowly with something that hides the blunt trauma and steals the small change that your adult son or daughter brings you. Given that that's the fact of reality here, and I'm in a long day's journey and tonight mood, which I've been in since I'm about 16 years old, but particularly now, I'm not sad, I'm not agitated, I'm just affected by this, because, look, the Grim Reaper comes around, and he gets closer and closer, and you see him circling, and you start saying, there we go again, And so what is it that you want to do with the rest of your life? You have to ask yourself, if you're a driven man as I am, and I've been driven all my life, let me tell you right now, this is nothing new to me. I've been driven from very early on to do things in my life. And I'm no saint. Don't confuse me with trying to tell you I'm such a saint. I'm not Al Gore, okay? I'm none of those people. I'm just like you. Maybe I'm a little luckier and maybe I'm a little more hardworking than some people, but I'm not different than the average intelligent person out there in some ways. In some ways, I'm a genius. In some ways, I'm a big idiot. I understand all of that. That's the human being. But I have a gift. There's no question I have a gift in radio. It's probably inherent. It's innate. Nobody taught me how to do radio, and look where I am after 13 years. I'm in the winner's circle, just where I knew I would be. Now, I could spend the next number of years just trying to get to number one, the number one slot. I could do that if I wanted, and I could probably win. I mean, I could change my time slot and go right up against Rush, and I'm telling you, Rush wouldn't stand a chance. In one year, he wouldn't be number one. I would be number one. But I don't have such a desire. It doesn't mean anything to me. It has no meaning to me, none whatsoever. I've always seen the big picture. I've always seen the longer picture. There's very little that I want for materially. I only want my health and the health of my children, to be honest with you. But then I say, well, what about my poor country? What good is all of this health? What good is a reasonable success if the have-nots are being brought in by the tens of millions? And if the have-nots are being told that they can take from those who have created it by these evildoers in the Democrat Party, there's nothing to work for. They'll take it all away from your inheritors. They will not inherit Jack Johnson. They'll give it away to the bums who didn't work for it. And that motivates millions of people like me. Let me tell you right now, illegitimi non carborundum. We don't want the illegitimate taking away our livelihood, and we don't want the illegitimate stealing from us any more of our damn tax money. Here in the state of California, we pay not only federal tax, we pay 10% of our income as state income tax, 10% right off the top. But wait, there's a bigger insult. Last year, while you slept, they added another tax for people in a slightly higher bracket in the state of California of an additional 1% called a mental health tax. So that's 11%. Now, what the heck is a mental health tax? Where does the money go? Well, you say, well, it goes for mental health. No, it probably goes to gray-bearded child molesters so they can write papers and go to conferences in Thailand and rape young boys. That's where the extra 1% goes. I can guarantee you it doesn't go anywhere else. And where will it end? Nobody knows where it'll end. So these are the things that are agitating me. And I read you the opener, how long do we have, and that the Athenian Republic lasted not very long, but that in 1787, Alexander Tyler, a Scottish history professor, said a democracy is always temporary in nature. It simply cannot exist as a permanent form of government because a democracy will exist up until the time that voters discover that they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. And that's Hillary Clinton. That's the invented man called Obama. That's the Biden, that's the Edwards mentality, which is to live like commissars in the ex-Soviet Union and tell you that they're for the people. They are absolute Bolsheviks. They're right out of the Communist Party USA with a slight differential, believe me, and not a great one at that. So that's what I was thinking about. So now let me go a little bit more here of where I'm coming from and how I got there. In my neighborhood, I had seen a 57 Eldorado for a while in a garage. I know you're saying, how the heck did he jump to there? Well, watch where I'm going, and you'll see I'll come back to where I started from. And I had seen, so I inquired from a neighbor's neighbor, is it for sale, blah, blah, blah. So I went and looked at it yesterday. It's a 57 Eldorado, totally restored frame up, really nice car. I have a 65 Caddy convertible. I have a weakness for 60s and 50s cars that are perfect. I don't really have the place to put it, but I looked at it, we talked. And this gentleman's from Sweden, very nice man. And before long, we started talking about the Muslim attempt to take over Sweden. I said, how did you Vikings let this happen to you? He said, we were too tolerant. He said, they came in asking for asylum, and we woke up, we can't even go into some cities. And he said, don't even get my mother started. My mother is vehement on this issue, that if we don't crack down on them and deport these imams, we're going to lose Sweden. And on and on and on. And I said, well, look at the illegal aliens in America. I said, Ted Kennedy is working around the clock to grant amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens, which will be the death of the United States of America as we know it. It will be over. It will be over. As far as I'm concerned, it's a declaration of war against our sovereignty. To me, it's a declaration of war against the people. I don't know how else to put it. What do you think? I like saying this? You think I don't know I'm putting myself in danger? I'm nobody. But I'm not alone. Tens of millions of you understand what's at stake. You don't want the illegal aliens to be granted amnesty. You know what that'll do to this country. You know it'll give them the right to bring in 5, 10, as many relatives as they want within 5 years. You'll be living in Tijuana with all of the horrendous problems of Mexico on a street corner near you. And if you want to live in Mexico, then I suggest you go live in Mexico. But for God's sakes, don't make this great nation into that corrupt socialist dictatorship called Mexico. And so having churned all of this over the weekend, I woke up at 3:30 in the morning. I couldn't sleep because of the mortality thing and the this and the that. And I started to add it up, and I said to myself, I'm leveling with you like I'm talking with you in a bar. And this is one of the things I can do very well. And you listen because it's like a guy talking to you from the heart and from real. So I know you're listening, those of you who want to listen. And those who don't, well, I can't help you. If you want to hear a regular, this is the Savage Nation, and we'll be talking. I'm not going to do that. There are other people who do that very well. This is much different. It's conversational. And it's based upon the reality of the man doing the show. So you'll go along with me. And I need a break coming up. But let me start with this. I said, did you add up the decades of your life? Now look at where you were from like age 11 to 21. Look at the change in your life in those 10 years. I said 11 to 21 was one of the most dramatic. You can't even do that lump. That's too big. Because at that age, 11 to 15 is already a change in your life unlike perhaps any you're ever going to experience again, except perhaps from middle age to old age. So let me back up from like fifth. Okay, let's start when I graduated high school, college. I don't even know how old I was. I entered college when I was, I've forgotten completely. I don't even know anymore. I'm losing track of it. I was like 16 when I went into, I was 16 when I got out of high school. I skipped the grade. And the way I was born, the month I was born, they put me in, blah, blah, blah. So I entered college at 16. I graduated college at 21. It took me 5 years because my father got a heart attack and I had to leave school for a semester and go run his little store and sell various things and leave school. But the fact of the matter is, I said, well, now look where you went. Yeah, now I was thinking, like from there, from when you got out of college, 21, you were just a social worker on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. You were working with welfare grifters who were ripping the system off then, and you knew it. That's why you quit the welfare department. I have story after story. You say, like the road, how I became a conservative. Well, let me tell you where it started. It started when I was a welfare worker. They didn't call it anything else then. It's called welfare. You went and you gave them a little check, and you found out they were grifting everything under the sun on the side, making believe they were poor, those bums. Those bums didn't need the money. I needed the money. I lived worse than they did. And so they had furniture. I had a soapbox on the for a bed table. They had furniture we had to buy for them. But I don't want to go into that. It's too distracting. From age 21, never mind to 31, but from age 21 to 25, the things that occurred in my life, what I did with myself in those few years, I dragged myself out from a no-career future as a lowly teacher. I went back to school to get a master's degree, and I didn't leave college till I got two master's degrees and a PhD from a great university. Now, that's when my trouble began. Little did I know that the society had turned on white males who had no connections. Every sign on every university said white males need not apply.
Savage.